He says, look to the Lord and his strength. Seek his face always. Remember the wonders he has done. Just a time to reflect on that. To think about the miracle of salvation. His judgments, his pronouncements are forever before us. He speaks about the descendants of Abraham, his servant. Goes on to talk about Jacob, his chosen ones. And when we look at the history of the Old Testament, of God's work with his people, we see that he is a faithful God. And all the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ. When you think about the history of the Hebrews, when they left Egypt and they came 40 years in the desert, it should have taken them a long less than that, but they rebelled, as we know. God was still faithful to them. And God is faithful to us. Even though we may wander, even though we may doubt, even though we may be bothered with all the things that are around us, we thank you for God for his faithfulness to us. And this lovely psalm, Psalm 105, it does go on. It goes on to speak about, he spread out a cloud as a covering and a fire to give them light at night. They asked and he brought them quail and satisfied them from the bread of heaven. He opened the rock and water gushed out. Like a river it flowed in the desert. For he remembered his holy promise. And that's something that we can take heart in this morning. That our faith may be on the line and we may be concerned about those that are not with us and those that are not well, but God is always faithful to his promises. We're going to sing again. I give you all the honour. It's number 200 for a page number. Morning both, nice to see you. John chapter 10. Just to explain, as we explained earlier, we have no musicians today, so it's me on the tambourine, and we've got some instruments there for a song a bit later on that Anne is going to demonstrate to us. Oh, you're not? Okay. This is John chapter 10, and its page in the church Bible is number
1076.
Sorry? 1076. This is Jesus speaking, and it's the shepherd and his flock. We knew that Joy was likely not to be back due to the sadness of David's father's situation. Many thoughts went through my mind. She said, well, you could talk about prayer and worship. And I could talk about prayer and worship. But I just feel the Lord wants us to look at John 10, particularly verse 10. It's well known. But let's just read through this portion of scripture together, and it's John 10 from verse 1. Jesus says, I tell you the truth, the man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate but climbs in by some other way is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him. And the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and it scatters. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep, I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I receive from my Father. At these words, the Jews were again divided. Many of them said, he is demon-possessed and is raving mad. Why listen to him? But others said, these are not the sayings of a man possessed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? Well, may God give us understanding. The disciples were slow in learning, and I think perhaps we are at times, but I hope by reading this word this morning gives us a little clarity of who he is and how much he wants to be. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution, famine or nakedness, or danger or sword, as it is written? For your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, nor the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation were able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Hold on to those words. You're special. I'm special. We're all special if we know the Lord and he knows us. Great, isn't it? Well, at least three of you are smiling. Four. So let's just have a look at John 10:10. Is the verse that has been quoted verbatim for a long time. Over the years I've heard it, when Jesus said, the thief comes only to steal, kill and destroy. The thief is speaking about them. We know that is the devil who opposes everything that God puts in place. And as I said, the death of Charlie Kirk will not stop the voice of Christians speaking out against the evils of this world. And then Jesus says, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. When the word life came to my mind the other day, when I had to step in for Joy, I started thinking about that TV program. What was it called? What was that TV program called? With Eamon Andrews and Michael Aspel, because you know, will help me here. This is Your Life. Do you remember that? One person won't know anything about what I'm talking about this morning because you're so young, but there we are. And it was the famous red book, do you remember? And a celebrity was taken by surprise by one of these, Eamon Andrews or the other guy. And they were taken by surprise, and then all these different people would come and congratulate the celebrity on who he was or who she was and what they'd achieved in their lives and what they meant to them and all that kind of stuff. And I think that was all good. It was a good program. I don't know why they don't bring it back, because I like people being surprised like that, and it's lovely, really. And it just reminded me that about our own lives, that we do base our lives on what other people say that we are. I mean, we've just sung "I'm Special," but I'm wondering whether we do say to one another, "You're special," and "You are special." And I think we do base who we are on what other people say that we are. And I've known one or two people over the years where a parent or some misguided teacher, perhaps, better not say too much about teaching profession, has said something to a particular younger person, something that has made them feel inferior and not able to achieve. And that can last a lifetime. And how people try to make up for words spoken over them. Words are powerful. And words create situations, either positive or negative. That's why the Bible says that out of the mouth proceeds the abundance of the heart. It's so true. What we say to one another can either dampen them or it can elevate them. But certain social interactions, like we meet right here, help us to understand who we are, what our position is in life, how we see life. And when we come to worship like this and we speak positive words from the Bible, it encourages us, because it speaks words of life in a world where so many words are being spoken, particularly in the political arena at this time. And I think it was Harold Wilson took the quote that I think somebody else quoted many years prior, a week is a long time in politics, and how true that is. And somebody said a reputation takes a lifetime to build, and in seconds it can be ruined, and we don't need to mention what's been going on this week. But when Jesus speaks of life, of course he speaks of life not so much about what is surrounding, but what's going on in the heart. Jesus speaks direct to the heart. And when Jesus teaches, he's teaching about a subject that reaches deep into the very soul of each one of us, because that's who we are. Our body is just an embodiment of who we are, but what's going on in here is the real person. Believe me. Now this passage is parabolic in the sense it's a parable, and Jesus uses several images. They're interchangeable: watchman, shepherd, the gate, and so on. And yet the scene is pastoral, and it would have been clear to the hearers at that time what he was talking about, even though the disciples declared, we don't understand what you're saying. I hope you understand the message, because it's deep and it's profound and it's life-changing. If the heart is the wellspring of life, then everything comes from the heart. And Jesus, when he came into this world, he came to say, to seek and to save that which was lost. Those that were lost in sin, lost in their own world, and he's rescued them out of that dominion of darkness into the light of his kingdom. So this is the heart of the matter. Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. Now some of us would say, well, hang on a minute. My life is not abundant by any means. I don't think I'm having life to the full. I'm not waking up every morning rejoicing in everything is going just absolutely dandy and I feel really happy about life. That's not true, is it? So many of us wake up and we carry the weight of responsibility and the weight of certain issues that surround us that are hard to deal with. But Jesus is not talking about what surrounds. He's not talking about issues in our lives. He's talking about what sustains us through them. What sustains us through life when life seems to be falling apart. And Jesus is being very clear here, if I understand this passage. It's not about what life brings to us that creates who we are. It's about what Jesus says to us that enables us to live who we are, if you see what I mean. Paul said this, I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. That's who he was. That's how he lived. Christ lived in him. He had all the wealth of experience of a Pharisee, of the Pharisees, and so on and so forth. He's a well-educated man. He'd achieved much in his life. You could say he was the top of his tree. And yet when he met Jesus, he said, no, I no longer live, but it's Christ who lives in me. I trust that you can say the same this morning. So this passage makes reference just to two references that Jesus made of himself. First of all, he says he's the shepherd. Secondly, he says he's the gatekeeper or the watchman. Now, just those two images of Jesus I want just to expand a little bit this morning, if time allows. Oh, of course it does. First of all, let's think about Jesus as the shepherd. The Bible talks about Jesus as the great shepherd of the sheep. Now, as I said, Graham will tell us all about what it is to be a shepherd, but I guess that the first and foremost thing about a shepherd is that he or she cares for the sheep. He looks after them, ensures that they are well fed and well looked after, well watered and so on. And it just reminded me that when Jesus saw the crowds, another incident we find in the Gospels, he saw the crowds and he saw they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he had compassion on them. That word compassion we don't hear about today. We hear about care, we hear about being gracious to one another, to having mercy, to empathize with others that are going through a similar situation that we have. But this word compassion is a deep word, because, dare I use the phrase, it comes from the very bowels of the innermost being. Jesus was so overwhelmed by the fact there were sheep out there without a shepherd, and he had compassion on them. So the image of the shepherd is very important when we look at Scripture, because Jesus refers himself as the good shepherd, as the one who cares for the sheep. The shepherd also guides, the shepherd leads, the shepherd saves. And the shepherd sets himself or herself up in that position of being a shepherd for us to follow, and to follow where he leads. We used to sing that old chorus, follow, follow, I will follow Jesus anywhere, everywhere. I will follow on, follow, follow, I will follow. There's a solo going on here, come on. Everywhere he leads me, I will follow on. When I sing these out choruses, it reminds me when I was about 13 or 14, before I made the mistakes, but there we are. Isaiah 53 says this, all we like sheep have gone astray. All of us, not just a few, not just people that come to church, but all people follow a way that they think is right. Everyone has turned his own way. Why not? Because that's progress, isn't it? But the Lord has laid iniquity, laid on him the iniquity of us all, our sin, our failing, our waywardness. Jesus centered that on the cross. When we look at the cross, we see that Jesus took upon himself our sin, our failing, our waywardness, my waywardness, all of us. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Hallelujah. And he's done it on the cross. He's saved us. And so we see it's not natural to follow Jesus. It's not a natural thing to follow Jesus. If it was natural, we'd have the place to be teeming. We'd have the balconies full. I remember a time when growing up when the churches was full. I explained this just a few weeks ago. Because that's what people did on a Sunday. I mean, we were a Christian country then, and everything on a Sunday was closed down and people went to church. That's not happening now. So following Jesus is not natural, but it's when we get a revelation of who Jesus is and where he's leading, to see that Jesus leads through the narrow way, and that way is tough, but it's a good way, it's a positive way, because wherever Jesus leads, it always leads us ultimately to eternity. The assurance on earth of heaven is enabled because we follow the shepherd. There's lots of references in the Bible. We look at the Old Testament, we see that the leaders were so-called shepherds, but they led the people astray. And that's why Jesus refers himself as the good shepherd, because he's the right one. And Jesus is the only way to find salvation. So he's the shepherd, he's the one who cares, guides and leads and saves, and we follow. So when we consider abundant life, it's not so much about how we wake up in the morning and what we face. It's about what God is doing in us through the experiences that we go through. That so often through a dark situation, we see a light of God's hand upon us. We see the very essence of the Holy Spirit giving us a sense of well-being, even though everything seems to be dark. You know what I'm saying when I say these words, because we've all experienced them. And the Christian life is not based on, you know, the red book and achieving great things and having lots of people around us. It's about finding strength and sustenance when all else seems to be failing. That's the beauty of the Christian life. God never promised it to be easy. And that's why he calls us to live by faith, not by sight. Live according to his word. And we find out how much more he loves us through his word. So he's the shepherd. He's the one who cares, guides and leads, and we follow. And secondly and lastly, the watchman or the gatekeeper. This is an interesting picture of Jesus. As I say, he uses different references there of who he is, but it helps us to understand that the watchman is a very important role in Scripture. We find in Psalm 121 verse 4 these words, "He who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep." Isn't that lovely words? You know, when you think about Israel, it's God's chosen people. Whatever our political situation about the Middle East in Israel and how they're treating the folk in Gaza and so on, I mean, I'm not going to get into the politics of it. It's still God's people. And God loves Israel. And Paul speaks about the Israel of God, not about that the church has replaced Israel. It hasn't. But I believe that what's happening in God's chosen land of Israel affects us personally. It should do anyway. He who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. That word watchful means unwavering. Isn't that wonderful? To know that when we wake again at 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning, or some of us are still having to get to bed at that time in the morning, but anyway, that's another thing. To know that even in the night seasons, that the Lord is watching over us. We're never alone. We're never alone. If you feel alone this morning, and it's only you, and all you have is your own voice, and you're talking to yourself, don't worry, we all go through that. You're never alone, because he's always with us. It's wonderful to thought. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. What wonderful words, that your shade at your right hand. He's the watchman. He's the gatekeeper. He's the one that looks after us. And you see, abundant life is all encompasses the fact that we are looked after. When we pray for people that are not with us, we're asking God to specially just put his arms around them, particularly those that are grieving today. And this verse, he calls them each by name. One word that comes to mind when I think of that, and you may have others that you may want to even talk about, and that is that we are secure. You know, the biggest spend for most people in this country is security. They have gates and locks and alarms and lights and all that kind of stuff. People are spending a fortune. Do you remember the days when you could leave the front door open? Remember the days you could just shut the door and the car door wouldn't lock and it didn't matter? No one was going to nick it. Well, we live in a different world today. And people are protecting. And I think what happens is when people protect themselves, their houses, they protect themselves. They don't let anybody into their psyche on anything. But that's another subject. We are secure because we have the watchman. And he calls us by name. And although he's looking after all the shepherd, a shepherd knows the sheep. And he gives each one their name. That means he knows all about you and me. That's scary, isn't it, at times? I've often quoted it, the psalm, I can't quite remember it, Psalm 139, is it? Whenever we stand, he knows it. He knows when we sit, when we stand. He perceives the thoughts from afar. He knows that every word we're going to say before we say it. Even if I go to the far side of the sea, he's there. There's no escape. God is always watching over us. I remember when we were young, it was a form of discipline. God is watching you.
Thank God sees me.
Yes, exactly. But you know, God is watching us with compassion. Yes, he's going to challenge us to keep on the narrow road. He's going to correct us. There will be punishment, if I can use that word at times, when we certainly go off against his will. But what we're going through, the watchman sustains us. And to know that we have one who knows us individually, knows what we're going through, knows that he will lead us, knows that he's watching over every aspect of our lives, and sustains us, this is where we get the abundant life from. We don't go it alone. God is for us. Who can be against us? Well, that's just my interpretation, or at least what the Holy Spirit would want to say to us this morning when Jesus said, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full, is to know that we have him as our Savior, our friend, our shepherd, our watchman, to sustain us and to encourage us, to promote us, to protect us today and always. Hallelujah. What a Saviour. Amen. Lord, as we receive your word today, just part of what you teach us, help us to realise, Lord, that life is not easy, but you are with us always, and you sustain us and you give us joy even at times when joy would be a very unnatural thing through what we experience. But Lord, we thank you. As your word says, the joy of the Lord is our strength today, and may that be always. Amen. Oh, I've got another page here. Well, we'll leave it there.